Avery woke and gasped, drawing in a mouthful of the freezing vapor that filled his cryotube. Quickly, the computer initiated an emergency purge. Somehow, despite more than 3 times the recommended amount of sleep inducers, Avery had overridden the final stages of the thaw. The computer noted the anomaly, carefully withdrew Avery's IV and catheter, and opened the tube's curved, clear plastic lid. Avery rolled onto an elbow, leaned over the edge of his tube, and coughed, a series of violent, wet heaves. As he caught his breath, he heard the slap of bare feet on the bay's rubberized floor. A moment later, a small, square towel appeared in his downturned field of view.
"I got it," Avery spat. "Back off."
"Zero to jerk in less than 5, a man's voice, not much older than Avery. "I've met grunts who were faster, but that's pretty good." Avery looked up. Like him, the man was naked, but his flesh was alarmingly pale. Blonde hair was just starting to burr from his recently shaved head, like the first tufts of silk from an ear of corn. The man's chin was long and narrow. When he smiled, his gaunt cheeks puffed mischievously. "Healy, Petty Officer First Class, Corman." All of which meant Healy was Navy, not a Marine. But he seemed friendly enough. Avery snatched the towel, wiped his clean-shaven face and chin.
"Johnson, Staff Sergeant."
Healy's grin widened.
"Well, at least I don't have to salute you."
Avery swung his legs out of the cryopod and let his feet settle onto the floor. His head felt swollen, ready to burst. He breathed deep and tried to speed the sensation's passage. Healy nodded toward a bulkhead door at the other end of the bay.
"Come on, lockers are this way. Don't know what kind of dreams you had, but mine didn't involve sitting around staring at another guy's balls."
Avery and Healy dressed, retrieved their duffels, and reported to Tufor Flinching's modest hangar bay. Corvettes were the smallest class of UNSC warships and didn't carry any fighters. In fact, there was hardly enough room in the hangar for one SKT-13 shuttlecraft, a larger version of the bulbous Bumblebee lifeboats standard throughout the fleet.
"Sit down, strap in,"
the shuttle's pilot barked over his shoulder as Avery and Healy came aboard.
"Only reason we're stopped is to offload the two of you."
Avery stowed his bags and slid into one of the SKT's center-facing seats, pulling a U-shaped restraining bar down over his shoulders. The shuttle dropped through an airlock in the hangar floor and accelerated away from the Corvette's stern.
"You ever been to Harvest?"
Healy shouted over the howl of the shuttle's thrusters. Avery craned his neck toward the cockpit.
"No."
But he had. It was hard to remember exactly when. You didn't age in cryo-sleep, but time passed all the same. Avery figured he'd spent at least as much time asleep as awake since he joined the Marines. But regardless, he'd only stayed on Harvest long enough to acquire his target, plan the hit, and reduce the number of corrupt CA officials by 1. It was his graduation mission from Navy Special Warfare, Nav Spec War, Sniper School, and he'd passed with flying colors. Avery squinted as the shuttle's interior brightened. Beyond the clear partitions of the cockpit's canopy, Harvest had come into view. Scattered clouds revealed a world where land was much more abundant than sea. A single, large continent shone bright tan and green through the world's unpolluted atmosphere.
"First time for me, too," Healy said. "Out in the middle of nowhere, but not bad to look at."
Avery just nodded his head. Like most of his missions, his hit on Harvest was classified, and he had no idea what sort of clearance the corpsman had. The shuttle veered toward a metallic glint in the deep blue aurora of Harvest's thermosphere, an orbital structure, Avery realized as they approached, 2 silver arcs hanging high above the planet. They hadn't been there on his previous visit. As the shuttle drew closer, Avery saw that the arcs were separated by many thousands of kilometers of golden strands, space elevators that passed through the lower arc and dropped to Harvest's surface. The points at which the elevators bisected the arc were open to vacuum, gaps filled with beamwork that, from a distance, looked like delicate filigree.
"Hang on," the pilot shouted. "We got traffic."
With short syncopated bursts of its maneuvering rockets, the shuttle finessed its way through one of many orderly formations of propulsion pods gathered around the orbital. Avery noted that the pod's designers had made no effort to beautify their creations. They were engines, nothing more. Hoses, tanks, wires, most of the pod's constituent parts were fully exposed. Only their expensive Shaw Fujikawa drives were shrouded in protective cowlings. As the shuttle closed on the orbital, it spun 180 degrees and backed into an airlock. After a few clanks and a hiss of air, an indicator light above the shuttle's rear hatch changed from red to green. The pilot gave his passengers a thumbs up.
Good luck. Watch out for those farmers' daughters.
The shuttle detached as soon as Avery and Healy were safely inside the orbital.